Mr. Farrakhan. Glad to see you, sir.
Thank you, Brother Siddiqui. I'm really happy to see you as well.
This phase, in terms of the summit aspect, and we made it very clear that this is just the beginning of the work. And so we said, well, looks like it's time for the minister. So you know everybody's looking forward to that, sir. So we turn the stage over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Siddiqui. I enjoyed every minute. I visited every cadre. I heard at least 10 to 15 minutes of each of them, and I was deeply moved and impressed. But before I say anything, I want to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness to the oneness of God and to the oneness of His people and to the oneness of the human family. I greet all of you, my beloved brothers and sisters, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. To Brother Siddiqui, Bob Law, and Brother Jay, Dr. Jay Winbush, and all of the wonderful presenters, I am so inspired by what I saw and by what I heard. Dr. Faye Williams and all of you that presented, it was a learning experience for me, because when you work a long time in the vineyard with your people, and this is my 67th year working in this vineyard, and I read once in the Bible, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, you'll see it coming back to you. I thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I thank Him for what He gave to me to give to you and to our people throughout the world. I thank Him and the God who raised Him for their intervention in our affairs. And now, after listening to each of you with rapt attention, I saw a great future for our people coming through you. Thank you, Brother Siddiqui, and all of those who worked with you to make the vision that you had reality. I have known Brother Siddiqui for a long, long time. He's not a man that promotes himself as such, but I would like to say something about what he's doing, what he desires to do, and what all of us can help him and those with him to do. Oh, back in the 80s, I believe it was, I had just come back from overseas, and I knew that as a people, we were struggling, and I knew that we needed to pull our people together like we are today. Organizational leaders, our critical thinkers, and sit down to talk about the problems that we face and develop solutions for those problems. I didn't think that the Nation of Islam at that time could provide that umbrella for all of the organizations and organizational leaders to find that comfortable spot with. So my brother, Dr. Ben Chavis, and my dear lawyer and friend, Lou Myers, had become the two principals of the NAACP. And since I was nurtured by reading the writings of W.E.B. Du Bois in the Crisis magazine that my mother nurtured me with, I felt that the NAACP could be and should be the one to call our leaders and organizations together. And I broached the subject to Reverend Dr. Ben Chavis and Lou Myers, and I asked them, would they do it? And they did it, and the NAACP hosted Black organizations, Black leaders, Black historians, Black thinkers, and we met in Baltimore, Maryland. And out of that meeting, a new organization was established. It was called NAILS, and NAILS meant the National African American Leadership Summit. And we went forward from that day in Baltimore so charged that we knew that with this kind of organizational effort, and I'm talking about people in a room with various religious, ideological persuasions, some friends, some not so friendly, but we did it with the help of God and the help of the NAACP, and we went away feeling we had made a good start. Outside the door was a rabbi who was noting all those who came, but the rabbi's anger was because I was in the group. And I'm sure you all know that Farrakhan is not loved in that circle. And at the same time, they hated the fact that all these Black leaders and organizations were in one room and Farrakhan was in the room with them. It seems like Farrakhan has a disease, and it's not COVID. It's not AIDS, it's just being too Black, too strong, and too much in love with the word of God coming through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm in love with you. I can't help myself. I could never betray you. I'm anxious to prove my love for you through living and dying. For that which is bigger than I and you, but never bigger than us. And I'm so grateful to be here with you, to listen carefully to what you said and to see Dr. Ray Winbush, Dr. Bob Law, Dr. Faye Williams, and all of you that spoke and headed up each cadre, I'm deeply, deeply touched. And so I wanted to say that Siddiqui Cambone has offered me the chance to speak at many things that he organized. Last year, he asked me to participate, and I realized that what he wanted to do was revive NAILS, a national Black leadership summit. And as I learned from each one of you that spoke, all the beautiful ideas that gushed forth from your lips and your hearts and your minds, I know that we have arrived at a certain point in our development now that we can become the greatest gift to our people and the biggest threat to the enemy, who hates to see our rise. He can't help himself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught me that a rising force pulls apart and destroys a falling force. And since this world is falling and we are rising, we are the force that's helping them to break apart. I won't go into that because that's not my talk today. But it is you and I and we coming into a level of consciousness that causes us to rise. We're influencing our babies. We're influencing art. We're influencing culture. We're influencing science and technology. We are upsetting a world. And that's what disturbs me now. Because the enemy sees in his fall and our rise that the end of white supremacy and its power over people of color is come to an end. And so what is his mind? What is he thinking? Over our beautiful planet, he has ruled 9/10 of it, and the other 10th doesn't know that he got them too. He's mastered religion. You can say you're a Christian, but he runs that. You can say you're a Jew, he runs that. You can say you're a Muslim, he runs that. You can say whatever you want to say, but he runs it all to our detriment. And as long as we gave the energy of our talent, the energy of our being to his world, he thrived. But today, what I heard from you, no, you want to give that energy to your beautiful Black self. When I heard my sister talk about how somebody just took them in the house and showed them how to sew and showed them how to knit, and others, you don't need your enemy, you need God and yourself. And we need each other. So now we are in danger. We've been in danger for a long time. when I first became a Muslim follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1955 and came into Mosque Number 7 under the tutelage of Brother Malcolm, there was a book out then called We Charge Genocide. And Brother Malcolm had us to read that book. Brother Malcolm had us to read J.A. Rogers, 100 Amazing Facts About the Negro, From Superman to Man, and he had us reading economic books. He had us thinking on another level. And any time we begin thinking and learning to love ourselves, the end of his world is nigh. So when Nails got started, and I think the rabbi's name was Rabbi Saperstein, who was outside watching us. After the third time we met, we began to feel the effect of money on black organizations. The effect of their philanthropy. When they feel threatened, then they will threaten us. Farrakhan shouldn't be in that meeting. Sorry. He's a hater. He's an anti-Semite. He's anti-gay. He's, oh my God, Farrakhan is anti-everything. Well, now if you want to meet, if you want your meeting to survive, we got to have money to support our organizations. You don't know this, but Brother Akbar, my wonderful friend and longtime associate and helper, we were together in Libya with Brother Muammar Gaddafi. Gaddafi said to me, Brother Farrakhan, when we are off of the sanctions that America has on us, we're going to put the Nation of Islam in our national budget each and every year. That's great news. Because Gaddafi gave a lot of money to the Palestinians and to other organizations, but now he was going to give it to the Nation of Islam. You don't know this, but you should know your brother. When I asked Ben Chavis to call us all together under the aegis of the NAACP, I'm a Muslim, but I love the NAACP. Why you love them? Because they nurtured me. Why do you love black organizations? Because every one of us has something to offer the struggle. You can't say that you got it all or I got it all, but together we have it all. Right. And until we think for the whole and not for a few of us getting this or that, we'll be the loser. So Elijah Muhammad said to me, think for the whole. Speak for the whole. And so they took Gaddafi off of the sanctions and he turned over all his weapons of mass destruction to Bush. And Brother Akbar will tell you, I wrote a beautiful letter that we carried to Gaddafi. In that letter, I laid out to him my thinking. I know that the NAACP could be more powerful than it is if it didn't depend on outside forces to give money. So when you were talking today about economics and how we have to sacrifice, nobody gives the nation nothing but our people. I'm free to go anywhere in the world because I'm supported by the Nation of Islam. Yeah. I have helped every black organization that has ever asked me for money.
Yes, sir.
Asked me for help.
Yes, sir.
I've sent others all over the world to conferences. I've helped other organizations that were dying with some of the money that these believers that were on this program today give to me. Because I don't see the nation as this little group of people. We are the nation. And the only thing that we are missing is the unity of the whole of us for all of us and as a catalyst for the whole black nation all over the earth to rise when we rise. So Akbar, he may be listening, I don't know. But we went to Libya. Gaddafi was out from under the sanctions. And I said to my brother, I reminded him of his promise. And sometimes when you remind people when they made a promise, but I didn't know another promise was made because Bush would not let him off the hook until he declared he will not give to aid the Nation of Islam. He was a helper to Elijah Muhammad. He was a helper to Louis Farrakhan. Elijah Muhammad borrowed $4 million and bought the mosque in Chicago and paid him back at $75,000 a month. I borrowed $5 million to go into personal care products for the nation. I put it in a black bank. I went to black companies. Come on. Let's build these personal care products.
Yes,
after a while, the enemy went to Mr. Johnson of the great Johnson Products and told him that if you did anything for Farrakhan, we'll take all your products off the shelf. Do you know the enemy? Do you really know the enemy? Do you really think he's happy to see what you're doing today? Do you really think that he will not hesitate to destroy us when he sees his end in sight? So my concern today is not the beautiful thinking. My concern today is, do you really know your enemy? Because some of us fell out with Elijah Muhammad because he referred to the white man as the devil. The devil is real. He raises hell. And in the church, you say, the devil is a liar. And ever since we've been in his hands, He's told us nothing but lies about ourselves, nothing but lies about God, lies about our people in Africa to keep us all divided against ourselves. And we are still sick from his poison. But we're cleaning it up. Before Elijah Muhammad left, he gave us a subject. How strong is the foundation? Can we survive? All that we did today, all that we heard today says we're on the move. We are rising. One day, Elijah Muhammad called me on the telephone. I used to broadcast, Bob Law knows this very well, my beautiful big brother. I was so popular in New York, this is the truth, because we had a broadcast every Sunday from the Temple Number 7. And there was the minister, blazing. Well, I got it from a blazer that went before me. Did you know that in my heated talk, Brother Malcolm, as my teacher, everywhere I went with Brother Malcolm, he didn't waste no time exposing the devil. So that became the talk, everybody. Malcolm X, he whooped the white man coming and going, and you know it, because he affected practically everyone in this circle. Brother Malcolm affected everybody with his teaching. Real talk. You didn't know the white man like he knew him, and Malcolm made sure all of us knew him. And we got uncomfortable. When I was his young student in New York, I used to watch the intellectuals, the learned ones. When Brother Malcolm was speaking on 125th Street and 7th Avenue at Elder Mishaw's bookstore, big gatherings, Malcolm would lay it down. And the learned ones would come, stay across the street, hear Brother Malcolm, and keep on stepping. Real talk. But after a while, they understood him. And they loved him. But to love Malcolm, you couldn't love the enemy. Once you came under his teaching, we respect the enemy, but love, no. Love was for you. Love was for us who learned to hate each other from his teaching to us. But now, we're wide awake. Did you know Elijah Muhammad called me one day. He said, "Brother, I don't want you to use that term devil anymore." In fact, the week before that, I was beating the enemy so bad over the radio in New York, he called me and said these words, "Brother, I wish you'd stop throwing trash in a well I'm trying to get a drink of water out of," and hung up the phone. I said, "Well, I was just teaching the teachings. What's the trash?" See, trash is something, the residue, you've eaten the best part of it, but the trash is the covering, the packaging, and You can't eat the packaging, so you throw it away. He didn't tell us other than the truth, but what he told us in another way, he said the white man made us other than ourselves. Wasn't that a nice thing, this way to say it? In other words, he made us into himself. So I can't say the white man is the only devil. Who's been hanging us up? Who's been betraying our movement? Who is it you are fighting? Each of us have to fight in order to get progress. You got to fight your own. Because in your own, there's envy, enmity, jealousy, strife. You know what I'm talking about. We're so hard on each other. Only God could love a people like this. And somebody that's in love with you. Somebody that can hang with you when you want to hang the person that loves you because you don't love yourself. So Elijah Muhammad said, yes, brother. Call me the next time. And he said, brother, I want you to use this language. I want you to use the word Satan. The enemy. The slave master's children. Now what he's doing, he's bringing me up into the knowledge of the devil maker. Satan is not just a wicked person. He's so wicked that his wickedness spreads from him to others. Now, I'll come right back to you. I'm not going to stay long. We're in a survival mode today, brothers and sisters, because all the plans that we have to do good for ourselves and our people, if we don't survive, we can't do it. And we live now in the valley of the shadow of death. And what I met when I first came in the nation, we charge genocide.
Yes, sir.
They want to kill an entire people because we are the next inheritors of rulership over the planet. He already knows this. He knows our future, but he don't intend for us to see that future. He's upset because we are rising. Look how much we gave to the Democratic Party. We've always given them our best shot, but we never got what we deserved. And Mr. Joe Biden has wanted to be president since he first entered Congress. His desire was to be president. He tried a few times and lost. He was giving it up until Charlottesville, Virginia, and the Nazis and the haters of Jews came out and somebody got run over with a car, and he decided he'd get back in the race. And when he got back in the race, people laughed because he was too old. Laughed because he's the oldest man to ever become president of the United States. But when he went to South Carolina, our brother, the great brother who helped him take his campaign up out of the doldrums. You know who I'm talking about. Congressman Clyburn. And from that day, his campaign kept going up, 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 up. And now, our people wanted Mr. Trump out of there. I have never seen black people talk about a white president like our people talked about Mr. Trump. I heard my beautiful sister, Maxine Waters, at the funeral of Dick Gregory, that thing over there, called him a thing. And the man, when he became president, our brother from Georgia, the one who just passed away recently, John Lewis, didn't even recognize him. Said he's illegitimate. Right?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember that?
Teach.
Y'all remember that?
Teach, come on.
You can check it out. He wasn't legitimate. And then Busta Rhymes came out at a rap with a gun. Was it Busta? Snoop. Snoop shot the gun at him and Busta called him the Orange Man. And Trump called him Sleepy Joe. The biggest slap in the face to Trump was when the man he called Sleepy Joe became the president-elect of the United States of America and called a black woman to his side. She ain't no lightweight. Kamala Harris is a heavyweight. And look at how white folks are thinking right now. She's a heartbeat away from being the first black president.
Yes, sir.
If he dies while in office, so white folks are upset. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They see our rise.
Yes,
and we are witnessing their fall.
Yes,
and now we have to survive because the death plan is in motion. What is the death plan? You say, well, black folks are the most prone to the COVID virus. Why is that? Because of the comorbidity conditions, diabetes, heart failure, obesity. Name all the comorbidity problems. We lead in that.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me ask you this. How did we get in this condition?
Come on.
Did you know that there's food that they prepare for you and me in the hood? That they kill us by zip code? When they know your zip code, they send the worst food in for us to consume? Talk to me.
Yes, sir.
Flint, Michigan is not an accident.
Yes, sir.
They're killing us through the water. You're a young man and can't and have erectile dysfunction. I'm not meaning to be vulgar, but our old folks died with the ability to make a baby.
Yes,
you need pills. You're already on death row and don't even know it. So now you're a perfect host for the COVID virus. And that's why it's killing us. But it's not that we don't have the means to do that. We don't really need a vaccine.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We need more vitamin D.
Go ahead.
Hey, brothers and sisters, I have my African sister talking earlier. We're talking about our people in the Caribbean, in the little island that my mother is from. I think they had 15 deaths from the COVID virus. Do you know why the virus is not hitting the Caribbean like it's hitting America and Europe? Because we live in the sun.
Yes.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me that in the sun there are billions of vitamins that you can't get in anything that is created except through the sun. So when you live on the inside and don't go out in the sun, have no love for the sun to lay in it and bathe in it. My teacher taught me, take a bath at least once a year in the sun. Go someplace where you can take your clothes off and turn again. And when you've turned enough, your body has accepted billions of vitamins into it. And when the day of disease comes, the vitamins rise up to defend us against disease. That's why in the Caribbean, they're not worried about a pandemic down there. So is it time for me to go, right?
Huh?
Oh. Well, I don't want to belabor this point. But now we are so frightened over this COVID. Now they're getting us ready for the vaccine. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that Satan, is concerned about vaccinating you about this thing here? Come on, brothers and sisters. You trust him. After all that he's done to destroy us, you trust him. And your trust is sickening because you love your enemy and you hate yourself and your friend. How could you allow him to stick a needle into you saying he's helping you?
Teach.
Well, we have black people that are in the trials. They're in this part and that part, and they're telling us it's okay. There are things that he brings you right into and blinds you at the same time, because he lets you see what he wants you to see.
Yes, sir.
And he lets you know what he wants you to know. And he keeps you blind to the thing that he doesn't want you to know, because he does not want you to warn your people against his plots.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on.
Do you know they took me down from YouTube I know y'all were talking about YouTube today. It's a great thing. You use it as best you can. But my July 4th message, that's called right. The Criterion, anybody that got that message, he's pulling them down.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
What's wrong with the minister? You talking all your stuff. Why can't the minister tell us the view of Elijah Muhammad on these vaccines? I'm off. Boyce Watkins is off. Ben X is off. Abdul Qiyam is off. What have I done? But tell you the truth. None of you can say to me that I'm a liar.
No,
you know darn well. You ain't never caught me in a lie.
Right.
But that daggone devil that you listening to, he's a liar from the beginning to the end. So the Bible say, if Satan cast out Satan, how can his kingdom stand?
Go ahead, dear minister.
So now you got 74 million people voted for Mr. Trump.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And 83 million for Mr. Biden. They're all divided.
Yes.
Satan is casting out Satan.
Yes.
Where do you stand in this? You better hurry and get yourself together. Because all those things that you talked about today, gardens in the community, putting gardens on the roof, learning how to feed yourself. Because if you grow the food, you know what's in it.
That's right.
Did you know that corporate America has bought up tens of thousands of acres of land? And do you know that they've made so many atomic weapons that the residue of the atomic weapons they have put into steel drums and buried it in the oceans. 30 years ago in the Sudan, the president was called Numeri, and he got a deal with America to take some of the drums and bury it in the sand, and they would get money. Did you hear me? Now the drums are being compromised by the power of water. So this stuff is escaping into the water, poisoning the food that we get from the water. And he's got now residue, they call it toxic waste. Did you know that they've put toxic waste that is from the nuclear waste over large tracts of land? Do you know that they're growing food under soil that is toxic, poison with nuclear stuff? Did you know that the food that you're eating is killing you? Did you know that the water that you're drinking is killing you? You like to eat fast food? Fast food is death food. You don't know. I mean, you trust so much your enemy, and you're so fearful of a man that will tell you the truth. You will listen to me, and then you go back to being the same person.
Yes.
Ain't nothing that you've talked about that I haven't taught on.
That's right.
The facts, depth of it.
Yes, sir.
Right. Go ahead.
You don't know me.
Teach, come on.
You might listen to one thing here, one thing there. Farrakhan, my man. Farrakhan, oh yeah, Farrakhan, my man. Yeah, I'm your man.
Teach them, man.
I've been your man for a long, long time.
Yes, sir.
But what do you do with your man? You listen and you go on about your business. You listen. You have meetings. Do you think when they had these meetings with all the leaders, do you think they invite the nation?
Come on.
Well, now don't let Farrakhan come up in here. Because if Farrakhan come up in here, white folk going to give us a problem. Well, they're giving you a problem now,
yes,
and it's going to get worse. You can't throw me away.
No, sir.
Even if you want to.
Come on.
God ain't going to let it happen.
Yes, sir.
So I think I should get ready to go. I got 10 more minutes.
Teach the administrator.
Look. Beloved family, all the wonderful things you talked about today, we got to put it into practice, but we got to live. Those of you who are health professionals, they want you to take it first.
Teach.
And then they'll say to you, if it ain't moving good enough, you notice they're offering you money now?
Come on, dear minister. Look, go ahead.
When had this devil ever offered you $1,000 or $1,500 to take a shot?
Teach, dear minister. Teach. Teach.
They give you free shots
right.
of toxic waste.
Yes, sir.
Free.
My God.
The same lead that's in the water in Flint, is in the water in Detroit, is in the water in Cleveland. You watch, it's in the water in Chicago. You ain't free.
Teach them, man.
You on a death watch. If you don't understand it, you're not going to be here to do all the wonderful things you talked about. I want you to live. I want you to live. God wants you to live. But if you refuse knowledge, if you love the enemy so much and are afraid of him, because he'll tell you, well, all right, if you don't take this vaccine, you can't work here.
Right.
Well, hell, that's all you had when they brought us here. To work, but you got nothing for it. So now you got a little job, but you're gonna have to learn to walk away from something that's killing you and do something for yourself. The unity that's here, we can do things to feed and clothe and shelter ourselves. Don't let them make you afraid. Well, if you don't show that you're vaccinated, you can't come to school. Mm-hmm. What a blessing.
Great. Go ahead.
What a blessing.
Yes.
Tell the cracker, I ain't coming to your school.
Teach.
When you tell me I can't go to your school, I open up a school of my own. You got the knowledge. You have the wisdom. You can teach your people. Like the sister said earlier, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you can have a university under a tree if you're teaching the knowledge of the universe.
Right.
Come on, brothers and sisters. And to Siddiqui, I hope I've not hurt anybody's feelings, you know. But that's me. I can't help myself. I didn't write a note.
Not one.
I just decided, let God show me how to talk to you today. Because I can conclude now. Mr. Joe Biden told you, because we backed him, he said, I have your back. Did he say it? When I heard that, I said, it's over.
Yes, sir.
Because he used the wrong word. He said, I.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
And if you remember the conversation between Franklin Delano Roosevelt and A. Philip Randolph and the Negro leaders of that day, they laid out a tough thing at the president's table. And the president didn't answer. He gave them all a cigar and they lit it up.
Yes.
And then he said, now, I don't have anything against anything that you all have said, because you all spoke the truth. He said, now, go and make me do it. Because no one white man, no matter how good his intention is, can give you what you need. It's got to be a we, or the I means nothing.
Right.
So when he said, I got your back, he didn't say, we got your back.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
He means good.
Yes, sir.
But meaning good ain't going to save the day.
Yes.
You got to mean good for yourself. But got to mean good for one another. I'm in love with you. I can't help myself. I'm slowing down now, you know. But damn it, if you call me out say something, don't expect no man pussyfooting around
no,
with
sir.
The truth. I can't do it.
No, sir.
I got to tell it to you like it is.
Yes, sir.
Whether you like it or not, whether you hate me or not, I love you.
Yes, sir.
And when you tell me you love me more, I'll tell you you lie.
Yes,
because if you love me more, then you won't die for me, but I'm dying for you every day that I live.
Yes, sir.
So you going to get up from here and let's make this national summit bigger. In fact, Siddiqui, we should do it every 3 months.
Yes, sir.
And add more of your giants, your leaders.
Yes.
Get the NAACP. Tell them, come on. Bob Law can help.
Yes.
And I tell you, I have an assistant minister that is blazing on Sunday. Tune in to him tomorrow. NOI.org.
Yes, sir.
He has a message for you. Don't think that the Nation of Islam is Louis Farrakhan alone.
Come on.
I've been working 67 years and I gotta go sometime. But what good is it if you're good and you didn't make some good people behind you?
Right.
Leadership is that you create from yourself, your replacements.
Yes, sir.
May Allah bless you. I hope I said it all. Oh, she corrected me. Thank you. She said there are 15 cases. 27 cases, but zero deaths.
Yes, sir.
On the island that gave birth to my mother, St. Kitts in the Caribbean.
Yes, sir. And Kamala Harris, first black female president, if she becomes president.
If she becomes. What
becomes.
Did I say?
You said like a first black president, sir.
Black female president.
Yes, sir. The administrator, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, the administrator.
And last but not least, I got 3 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Remember the Million Man March.
Yes, sir.
It took all of us working together to make that great, great day. That's a template for how we can do what we need to do. Reverend Jackson was not with the march at first, bless his heart.
Yes, sir.
But he finally came.
Yes, sir.
And I was so happy because he was one of the first ones I wrote a letter to telling him I wanted him by my side with the Million Man March.
Yes, sir.
I wrote a letter to Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad.
Yes,
asked him, come stand with me. He didn't come. Reverend Jackson came. In my hotel suite, Reverend Jackson asked me, Farrakhan, how long can I speak? I said, Reverend Jackson, I can't give you any time. You speak until you finish what you have to say.
Yes,
ain't no Negro gonna do that.
No, sir.
In fact, when they invited me to speak, they gave me a minute.
Yes, sir.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
I took five extra.
Yes, sir.
And they were trying to pull my coat to sit me down.
Wow, sir.
And in those 6 minutes, the Washington Post said, my speech that day on the 20th anniversary of the March on Washington,
yes, sir,
was the speech that carried the day.
Yes, sir.
Look, beloved, we can do it, but we got to do it together.
Yes, sir.
The Million Man March, you have never seen so many black women at a Million Man March. The dais was full of black women that loved what we were trying to do. Among them was Mrs. Betty Shabazz, Brother Malcolm's wife. You may not know this, but the FBI had planned for Kabila,
yes,
to be in trouble. A plot, they said, that she was involved with a Jewish white man,
yes,
to kill Farrakhan.
Yes,
and the FBI came to my door in Chicago,
yes,
and told me that at 11 o'clock there'll be a press conference. They're announcing something about an assassination attempt on Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
When we turned the thing on at 11, it was my sister, Kabila Shabazz, with this Caucasian. And then they naturally, now they wanting me to go crazy.
Yes, sir.
I did. I went, we contacted Betty Shabazz.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that her daughter meant me no harm.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
We raised money.
Yes, sir.
For Kabila.
Yes, sir.
Betty and I, and I think Bob was there at the Apollo Theater in New York. We stood together.
Yes,
white folks went crazy,
yes, sir,
because they love it when you hate one another.
That's right.
They love to feed your beefs. Not with me.
Come on.
You don't hear me talking about nobody that's
right,
black that's talking against me.
That's right.
No, I don't.
That's right.
I can take it if it's coming from you.
Yes, sir.
Because I know you only speaking because you don't know.
Yes, sir.
And I accept that. And you know, when you love somebody and they do things that injure you, what do?
Forgive them.
See? See, you love Jesus?
Come on. Mm-hmm.
You do?
Come on, dear man.
I do too.
Yes, sir.
So I live Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, you do.
You hear me, what
yes,
I say?
Sir.
When they hit me, you don't see me hitting them back.
No, sir.
I give you another cheek. Go ahead,
yes,
baby.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Because in the end, I'm going to win you.
That's right, sir.
I'm going to get you for the sake of God and the truth. May God bless you, Siddiqui. May God bless all the presenters. May God bless this to grow.
Yes.
Into what we can feed from. One thing I wanted to say, Reverend Jackson was the only one when we had the Million Man March that spoke about what was going on in Congress with the Criminal Justice Act, where Mr. Biden was one of the principal architects of the crime bill.
Yes, right.
Remember that. And in the audience of the Million Man March was a community organizer, Mr. Barack Obama. And the one criticism that he had of the Million Man March, he said it needed to be more organized. I said, thank you, Barack. We need each other.
Right.
And the enemy wins when we stay apart from each other and then throw lobs at each other. No. Let's come together.
Yes.
Let's learn how to love each other.
Yes, sir.
And believe me, what a feeling it is. And that day at the Million Man March, nearly 2 million showed up. Mm-hmm. Not one person fought another.
That's right.
At the Million Man
That's
March.
Right.
No crime.
None.
In the city
Teach,
of Washington
Teach.
On that day.
Teach.
Because we brought them all together on a spiritual level.
Yes, sir.
Told them, don't bring no reefer.
That's right.
No, don't bring no gun. Don't bring nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Bring yourself.
Yes, sir.
We told them, don't go to work that day.
Yes.
Don't go to school that day.
That's right.
See, God wants you to make a sacrifice so he can help you.
All right.
You don't punk out over a job.
Go ahead.
And them brothers came.
Yes.
On their own dime, because
yes,
I
yes.
would not ask nobody to give them a bus.
Come on. Go ahead. Teach.
Oh, I'm late. It's only time, Farrakhan. And y'all told me I could take 2 hours, but I know I was not going to do that
yes,
to
sir.
You or myself today. Getting up in age now, and I'm enjoying growing old, and I still have so much juice left.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to blow it with a 2-hour speech.
Yes, sir. Dear man.
So look, I love you all.
Love you.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you for all that you did to make my day. Just by being here and listening to you, you've inspired me. I love you much. And Siddiqui, Cambone, y'all need to tell me who. Some of these people are asking for $10, right? Who needed the $10 today that somebody need to give to? You know who it was? If you give me their name and the organization, I got to give something to Siddiqui.
Yes, sir.
This got to keep going.
Yes, sir.
But I can't just give my brother $10. I want to give him $1,000.
Yes, sir.
So you got to remind me, Siddiqui.
Yes, sir.
Who that person was that was asking for $10 a piece, and there were 90 people with $10, and that was almost what?
In that workshop, sir?
Yeah.
I think that was community. Economic development, sir.
Yeah.
In that workshop.
Okay. So thank you again. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Sir. Minister, sir.